We are so excited to be partnering with Marco Polo. Marco Polo is a video chat app that brings you closer to the people you love the most. Connection is a big factor in why we started doing the podcast, and this app has allowed us to connect with many of you and continue the conversation. Our listeners will get a free 2-month pass for Marco Polo Plus. Just download the free version of the app, click on the link in our show notes, and it will upgrade your account, giving you access to double speed, the notepad, and other awesome perks. Happy poloing!
We're your hosts, Dana and Kara,
and this is From the Mouths of Babes.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so excited to talk to you again this week, and we're really excited about our guest. So a couple months ago, we put out a little question box to see what you guys wanted to talk about. And I think one of the things that kept coming up is the importance of friendship, how to create and maintain friendships, and this underlying tone and worry about loneliness in life. And I thought, wow, why don't we combine those topics? Because I think they go hand in hand. And recently, over the past couple months, I've had the opportunity to be an ambassador for Marco Polo. And I've gotten to rub shoulders with really amazing women. And one of those women is actually our guest today. We're so excited to have Megan Allers on the podcast. And I think this is a topic that she's really passionate about. And so we're excited to welcome you and to talk a little bit about friendship and loneliness and how we can deal with this like loneliness epidemic that people are facing right now.
So excited to be here, Dana. Really excited to talk more about it as well, because it's something that I come across every day in the work that we're doing with Marco Polo and our community.
Okay, so let's start there, because I think people, our audience, would be really interested to know what you do for Marco Polo and how that has increased your passions surrounding this topic.
Yeah, so I would say that I always loved connecting people. I always loved being a community builder. And so like my past, like I was a teacher and I was, you know, in the classroom, and then I was on college campuses doing student activities and welcome weeks, and nothing like made me more excited than like finding like two friends and noticing that they had something in common and being like, I want to introduce you guys to one another. Oh, and so Marco Polo came about. I had moved cross country, and our founders are a husband and wife team. And at the time, it was back in 2016, there was 8 of them working at the company, and they're like, we want to bring you on board to help with our community and like customer support. You know, the job title is super awesome, and you'll help with a bunch of different things. And I immediately was so drawn to our founders and their vision for really wanting to help people in the world to be connected, that I was like, you know what, like, whatever the job is, I will roll up my sleeves and like, I want to be part of this. And so we've been totally remote from the start. So I'm coming up now on 8 years of being at Marco Polo, which is like so rare in like the startup space that, you know, we've continued to be around. And also that being in the startup world, what I love is that I've gotten to touch on a bunch of different areas. So where I started in customer support, you know, answering, you know, App Store and Play Store reviews and customer emails and social media, I then have done like user research and now community building, like you mentioned, Dana, with our ambassador program, and finding these different use cases, and then getting to educate on it as well. Having my background in education, that comes up too. So it's just been so, so joyful to be part of.
Yeah. We talk a lot about Marco Polo on here because it's been a way that I've been able to connect with so many people in my life. But if there's anyone who's listening, they're like, Marco Polo, what is that? So Marco Polo is an app where it's a video chat essentially, where you can chat with your friends and your family members. And what I love about it is that, one, it's not like social media where you're having to like update a status or you're having to like scroll through people's highlight reels. It's real-time interaction. So you can record a video, it gets sent to the person or the group that you're in. And then when they have the time to sit down and actually watch the video, they can watch the video and then respond. And yeah, I think it's been pivotal in me having really transformative conversations and being able to keep in touch with friends and family, because Kara and I come from a large family where I'm number 9, she's number 8 of 10. And all of our siblings are spread out all over the country. And so a way that we've been able to stay connected with our siblings and our parents and our nieces and nephews is, you know, people will hop on and just send like a quick little clip of someone's orchestra concert or their volleyball game or whatever. And it's been a fun way to still feel like we're a part of each other's lives, even though we're not next to each other.
Yeah. We're not actually part of each other's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, so that's what Marco Polo is. And I think it's an excellent resource. And I know you guys have done a lot of research on the importance of connection. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit about some of those findings that you've had and how Marco Polo has helped in people making connections in their lives.
Yeah. I love your stories too of how it's helped you personally in your life. And that goes back to like the origin story. Like when Vlada and Michal founded the company, it was because their family was spread across the globe. And I think that, you know, as someone who moved as well, like from the East Coast to the West Coast, like you don't realize how those 3-hour time differences are like just enough to be like, ooh, if I'm getting off of work at 5, it's already 8 for you. And you're into like that evening wind down routine. Like the timing is rough. And so the asynchronous nature of Marco Polo is definitely really helpful. And I would say that, you know, we started in 2016 and then 2020, when kind of lockdown happened and people are now looking for ways to connect, I would say that that was a really pivotal point that we saw, you know, more people coming to the platform, more people saying like, hey, you should get on this with me. And that was right around the time too, when the US Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murphy, came out and said like, hey, like we have a loneliness epidemic going on where, you know, and loneliness can be as impactful for your health as smoking like a pack of cigarettes a day. And I know that a Pew Research also just came out with a study saying that 8% of Americans don't have someone that they consider a close friend. And so I think that there's this overall like technology advancement happening where we're moving different places and we have people on Instagram or on Facebook or TikTok. And so we have this illusion that like, oh, I'm connected. Like I saw that, you know, so-and-so was doing this yesterday, but in reality, there's so much more that happens there that maybe those platforms don't allow for that like conversation to kind of happen. It's more of just like a highlight reel, like here's what's going on. And I think what you're kind of alluding to as well, Dana, in your conversations is like, it allows you to go a little bit deeper and ask someone like, well, how are you like really doing? Like what's really going on? That I think is really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, just like you said, and I think that so many people have finally recognized with social media that, yeah, that's exactly it. It's an illusion. Mm-hmm. And people are dissatisfied with, you know, the friendships that they've found on social media. And that's why they're seeking something more. And so that's been really cool. So as being a Marco Polo ambassador has allowed me to go into these community groups where Marco Polo will match us with strangers. And that can be, sound kind of scary where you're like, what? You're just like in a group with a bunch of strangers? Like what are you even going to talk about?
Other ambassadors.
Yes.
Yes. I know.
Other ambassadors. Yeah. Who are, I think in order to be an ambassador, one, you have to be passionate about Marco Polo, but I think in general, you have to be passionate about connecting with other people. And so that's like the common ground I think that we all have, which has been really cool, but we get to choose what community groups we're a part of. And so for me this time around, I am part of a stay-at-home mom group and I'm part of a like fitness and wellness group. And so I've been matched with different women who also wanted to be a part of those groups. And I've gotten to moderate different conversations within those groups. And one thing that I found that was really interesting, and this is my second time around, as an ambassador and in the community groups. And so I've been into stay-at-home mom groups. I have found that a common theme for a lot of stay-at-home moms, and maybe it's not just exclusive to them, has been this feeling of I wanted to be a part of this community group because I have this sense of loneliness in motherhood. And I think I have been able to relate to that in different times and seasons of my motherhood journey. And I know Kara has as well. And so I wanted to talk a little bit more about why that is, what loneliness looks like in women, and maybe some antidotes to overcome that. And so, this is like a question I want to pose to all of us, is like, what does loneliness look like in women?
You know, for me, I feel like a lonely time in my life was when I moved across the country by myself for a job, and I knew no one. And I remember that I'm now away from my family, away from all my friends, away from those comforts of like my favorite place to grab a coffee down the street. And I felt this sense of like, I'm physically alone, like on this new coast, but also I was lonely in a sense that like, I didn't have regular communication as much with the people who really mattered to me. And so I found that to be challenging, that a lot of my time was spent like physically, like by myself, figuring out like what actually makes Megan happy, like what do I want to do, like, you know, and what does that look like? And it was that period of like deep diving and like trying to navigate it, and like through support of others, there was some tears, and then there was some like putting yourself out there and saying like, okay, I'm gonna go to the gym and I'm gonna try this, and like let me have a new conversation. But it was definitely a very challenging time.
Think that the fear of rejection gets bigger and bigger the older you get, and because there's just so much more at stake. You know, as kids, just when you're little, you just don't even care. You're like, hey, you are next to dirt. You want to play in the dirt with me? You know, and so yeah, as we get older, just that, like, what if they say no? What if I've inconvenienced them by calling them at this time? I know, like you, I've moved several times without children and with children, and it definitely got harder with children. My kids have special needs, so when they were toddlers, they were just running all over the place, so even people in my neighborhood wouldn't invite us to play at the park right next to our house because they're like, oh, her kids are a little wild, you know. And so I just, yeah, that isolation that can come in a new space with a new life change, any life change, I feel like kind of resets your brain, and you have to reacclimate. But connection is so important into building roots and keeping your dopamine and serotonin up. And it's really hard as an adult to like feel like the effort is worth it, or if you've put effort out so many times and it's not been reciprocated, and you just feel like, okay, well, I tried. And that's one thing. I wish we had Marco Polo. My kids were born in 2014, and my husband is a pilot, so he was gone, and I had two babies, and then I was immediately pregnant again, and I had no one. And even like Facebook, you know, I post pictures of them, but I wasn't getting a whole lot back. And that would have been would have created a lot more quality connection for even the people in my circle that really do love me and want to support me, but the lack of availability, you know, really, and people will end up letting you down, even though they're not trying to, they're trying to. I think putting yourself, reciprocating when people put it out there, and deciding who your people are and continuing through that, I think that is really helpful. But yeah, it can come even when you're surrounded by people. You can still feel lonely when you're not able to share your most authentic self, or that's kind of where I feel like I am right now, because I moved again and I have all these pockets of women around me, but I'm like, I don't like know them well enough to like be vulnerable yet. And so it still feels a little isolating, even though like we get together, but I'm like, I still just don't know you enough. Mm-hmm. So that's what it looks like for me.
So many great points in there, Kara. And one, I was reading an article recently. There was a study done out of the University of Kentucky that talked about those levels of friendship. And he said it takes 20 hours to go from being an acquaintance to like a casual friend. And then another 50 hours to go from a casual friend to like a friend. And then 200 hours to go from a friend to a close friend. And I think that what you hit on, especially in motherhood, is like time is so limited. And just in society in general, we're all so busy. So like, how are you going to get those like 200 hours in of conversation and authenticity, you know, and vulnerability and supporting one another to like get that level, the conversation and the relationship built up there? And I think that that's where I've seen Marco Polo be impactful, because it's asynchronous. And because you're able to like do it on your own time. And especially like, as you talked about your new mom journey, in that when you had kids and your husband's away and you're, you know, in a way like homebound, you're like, okay, we're doing this mom thing, and you are isolated in that way, that I have so many Marco Polo ambassadors or community members that I've talked to who are in that situation. And they're like, you know, like, when I'm going for a walk, I'm able to like send a video message to a friend, or when I'm doing dishes, I can listen to a video from my friend supporting me. Or if I need a minute, like I can close the door of my closet and like send a message out. And, you know, people are able to fit it into the pockets of their day. So while like you may not be on an hour long phone call, because that's really difficult to schedule, like you end up having like 20 minutes of conversation throughout, you know, 2 minute increments during your day, that I think, has been helpful to many.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. That's been my experience, because I think to something that Kara said, like you can be surrounded by people and still feel lonely. You know, in my early motherhood days, I was surrounded by kids and I wasn't getting, you know, the adult interaction. So I was very lonely. But it also was kind of self-inflicted, because I was so stressed about like routine and schedule that I didn't allow myself to have those moments for true connection. But I think finally now, as I've gotten, you know, a grasp on motherhood and just my life in general, I've realized there's so many pockets of time where I can allow connection to form. And to your point, Megan, of like, I think oftentimes, like when I'm Marco Polo, is like when I'm getting ready, when I'm like making my lunch or making dinner for my family, and I feel like I have people who are mothering with me. And that has been like such a blessing, because I think a lot of the times people just want to feel like they're not going through their life alone and through the monotony, that they have someone that's doing it with them. Which reminded me of the story. I think we've actually talked about this in like one of our very first episodes we ever did on the podcast, which was like 3 years ago, of the story of the women who were in this village who would do their laundry together. And then there was the introduction of washing machines, and there was this huge spike in depression because the women weren't getting together to wash their clothes anymore. And I think we have that in a sense, where we have all of this technology, we have, you know, our homes, we have everything we could ever need, you know, right at our fingertips. Yet I think there's this rise of depression and loneliness because women aren't getting together to create those lasting, impactful friendships. They're not having, you know, those 200 hours of conversations to make them feel fulfilled. And so with that, I mean, one thing that I was reading about is that true connection involves feeling seen, heard, and valued. And I'm curious if you guys agree with that, and what does that actually look like to feel seen, heard, and valued?
Yeah, so I absolutely agree with that. And I think that, you know, the idea of active listening to someone, of like really like taking in what someone is saying and not just like listening so that you can then relate it to something that you've got going on, or like you want to listen to answer. And I think that that's what's been really powerful in my own like Marco Polo experience of like, you open it up and like you tap the start button and you're able to just process and like, no one's going to interrupt you. Like you can go on for a while. And, you know, for me personally right now, I'm in the midst of wedding planning and there's a lot of emotions going on and a lot of different things. And even this weekend, I was feeling really low and I was feeling really sad. And my best friend's back on the East Coast and I popped it open and I left a, you know, 8-minute Marco Polo to her. And I like cried. I wasn't expecting to cry, but you know, as I'm like processing my own feelings and I'm having my own realizations, like the emotions just kind of come out. And I knew I was in a safe space with her and that she'd receive it back with like love and empathy. And I have the trust that like, she sees me, she's known me for so long, like, you know, that she's gonna, you know, give me great suggestions and not like, I'm not gonna feel like judged in any way. And so having that safe space to be seen and to share openly, I think is really powerful in relationships.
For sure.
I love that example of the 8-minute Marco Polo, because I think that there's new like TikToks and things like that about that, like putting your headphones in and listening to your friends like half an hour rant or whatever. And it's like, yeah, I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna hear you, and I may not have the right answer, but at the very least I'm gonna listen. I might fast forward a little bit of it, or
double speed.
But I think that there is just this, I don't know, grounding effect of knowing that you do have people to talk to and that you can get that back. And yeah, or you can do that for them and they can do that for you. I think it's critical to have like at least one person at all times in your life, like one girlfriend that has to be separate from like your spouse or partner, because you just, yeah, you need that balancing person to have to bounce off of. And I have like best friends for like every stage of my life. I kind of pick them because I'm like, I don't have enough energy for everybody. You're my kind of weird. And I think we're just right for each other. And that, I think that's all you, I only need one friend. That's why Dana has more Marco Polo groups, because she's able to have more than one friend at a time. I get lost in that. But yeah, I just think it is so great that we have these resources now to do it. And hopefully people can take advantage of that and at least have like their one person, and, or maybe it's a few, or connect with people from your past, or like recently connected with girls from high school. Mm-hmm. And we've all just scattered across the country and we've had conversations that about our development and growth that like we could have never had when we were younger, but we were all living this similar experience and like kind of checking in like, how are you guys doing after that? Like, are you okay? Because the way I was raised is not necessarily what I agree with now. And it was so, I think it was kind of liberating or validating for us to be like, oh no, like, yeah, we actually were all thinking the same thing, but pretending that like we weren't hurt by that or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, validating our experiences as we go living life with other people and knowing you're not the total weirdo, I think is super valuable.
One thing you mentioned too, Kara, is like this idea of like having different friends for different stages of our lives. And I found that that is very powerful as well. Like when I moved to a new city, I went to seek out new friends actually like through like LinkedIn. I reached out to people who were like from Buffalo, New York, because I'm like, they have this experience of growing up in the cold and knowing like good chicken wings that Buffalo is known for. And we'd go watch Buffalo Bills football games together. And like having that shared experience, like your friends from high school, like that was really powerful to me. And then like creating these new friendships, but then also like I recently got into pickleball. And so like, I want like the pickleball friends, like maybe we're not going to have a deep conversation where I'm going to cry on a Marco Polo with them, but like, they're going to go out and play pickleball with me and I'm going to have fun. And it's like lighthearted and like, that's great too. And so I think there's like different kinds of friends for like different stages, like motherhood or after college or whatever it might be, that can help fill our bucket in different ways.
For sure. I like that. And I think like, I love that you like went through LinkedIn, because then also in like other areas, like you can develop mentors. You know, I think it's really valuable for people to have a mentor in whatever their field is or passion, you know, even if it's just motherhood, having a little bit older mom friend to be like, oh, actually, that's totally normal. You don't have to go to the hospital. It's okay. Like, you're not dying. I think it's super, super great to have those people in your same sphere to help build you up, because they've been there already.
Mm-hmm. So I think that that's all true. Now, how do people actually find those people? Right. I think that's, people like the idea of having friends for different seasons, but they're like, how the heck do I find a friend? Or how do I develop skills when, you know, maybe I'm an introvert, maybe it's super uncomfortable for me to just go up to somebody at the gym and start a conversation. Like, so how have you each made friends and kept friends as an adult? And maybe we can give some suggestions to people who are struggling to find and make those connections in their lives.
Yeah. I'm definitely more of an extrovert. So I am that person, Dana, who's going up to someone in the gym, like, hey, do you want to go get coffee after this? And like, I realize that like, that's not everyone's cup of tea. I've done the LinkedIn method for sure. I've also gone the friends of friends route. So especially when I've moved to a new city, reaching out to my existing circle, like, hey, does anyone know anyone who's living in San Diego? Like, I'd love to like make new connections, to go to coffee. I've also done like Bumble BFF to like try to go on friend dates that way. But one organization like specifically for moms, is called Mom Walk Collective. And its founder is based in Orange County, Jamie, and they have like 150 chapters locally in different cities, and they schedule like bi-monthly walks in an area. And so you're able to show up like with your little one and just like go for a walk. And I know a couple of my girlfriends do it, and you know, some of them are like, I always bring a friend and I just walk with my friend, and I'm like vaguely around other people. And for others, they feel like lasting friendships out of it as well. So yeah. I think that could be a good one. And I know that there's like the Peanut app. I think Dana, you talked about Peanut app at one point that you've used. And I also think that that comes into play with like Facebook groups where, you know, organizing around a neighborhood or a different topic in motherhood could be a nice way to meet people as well.
Yeah, I've used Peanut a lot. I felt like when we were living in Seattle, and it was like after the pandemic, most of our friends all moved. And so I was like, I had no friends. And so I used that and made some of my really great friends. And then when we moved to Oregon, that was another way that I made new mom friends, was through Peanut. And it's been a great thing. I think even within like those resources, having the mentality of like, okay, I'm going to be the person that makes the first move. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the one that makes the plans, that makes the call, that sends the Marco Polo. If you have a specific idea of what support looks like for you, then create it. You have to be the one to create the support system that you're craving or needing in your life. And I think I've had the mentality of like, oh, I'll just kind of step back and just kind of wait for things to happen. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, it doesn't. And so I have to be the one to make it happen. So if, for example, you do have a lot of women in your area and you're like, oh, it'd be really fun to start a book club,
do it.
You be the one to do it. A lot of people do like favorite things parties, or they are like, oh, there's a lot of people who go to the gym. Like, yeah, just you might have to be the one that initiates.
Yeah. And that's whatever your thing is. If it's pickleball, if it's knitting, start the club.
Yeah.
Send out a text or a note, a little flyer to everyone in the neighborhood. It's, come over to my house to knit. Or I think that's good.
What I love about that idea too, Dana, like with the book club, with creating that, I think when you're looking to make new friends, like you need to get that opportunity to have those shared experiences. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have something like, you know, you're going to watch a show together every week or do a book club for a certain amount of times or play a hobby, it's giving you that opportunity to see that person multiple times or like that group of people. And I think that when I think about making new friends or that sort of thing, like there's definitely an opportunity for like a one-on-one coffee date, but you can only do so many one-on-one times. We're all busy, right? And so I think that the group opportunities are really fun too, because then you're able to see like, okay, like this person I click, but this person like really gets me, like we really mesh well. And then I think in the group dynamics as well, you may have someone that like, oh, you're going to like one-on-one and connect over here, but you'll also get together in groups, which can be powerful as well.
For sure. Yeah. A couple years ago, I just felt like I needed to create better relationships because I was really struggling. And so I was like, okay, if connection is super important to me, then I'm going to create that group for me. I think all of my life, I wanted to have like a tight knit group of girlfriends. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to create that. And so I took different people in my life and they didn't necessarily know each other super well. And I was like, okay, once a month, we are all going to meet over Zoom and we're going to have a topic to discuss. And so that's how it started. And then we created a Marco Polo group. And now I literally talk to these women at least once a day. And it's been fantastic because it has filled a void in my life. And it's also given me a bigger chance to just like transform and develop and learn new ideas. And so just like personally, my development has completely changed. And so, yeah, like you have to be the one to do it. And I think the really cool part is now we've been going on like 2 years of this, and now we've done like girls trips, and all of these girls who didn't necessarily like know each other are now having one-off conversations and calling each other, you know, as they're driving or as they're doing the dishes to like vent about things. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And you know what? I am totally fine to take credit for that. Because that was awesome.
It's great to be the glue, the common denominator, yeah. Bringing people together, matchmakers.
I love that too. Like time thing, the article that you were talking about with the time was super interesting. I will have to go and read that. But I think that can be really hard, right? To carve out the time to nurture the friendships. But I think when we invest in people, we're investing in our own happiness, right? And so making the time.
And I think a piece of that too, Dana, comes to like being able to ask someone for help. I know that, like, you know, there's another out of UC Berkeley, they did a study around creating closeness, and they've got a list of like 34 questions to like go like vulnerable with someone. And what's interesting is like, you know, if I was to go up to a stranger on the street and be like, what is your greatest fear? Like, you know, they may give me like a surface level answer. They may be like, who are you? Like, what's going on? And so I think you can like dip your toe into like getting to know someone. But when you give someone else the opportunity for you to say like, hey, I'm really struggling with this situation. Like, what have you seen? Like, what would you suggest? Like, it gives them the opportunity to like, you know, meet you kind of where you're at in like a vulnerable space and to support and uplift. And those kind of small moments, I think, help to build relationships as well.
For sure. That one is so hard for me because I want to like pretend like I have it all together. And I remember having conversations with my husband, and it was probably like a year ago where I was really struggling. And he was like, okay, well, on those times where you're really struggling, ask for help. Ask, you know, my sister-in-law lives across the street from me. We have really good friends that live down the street. Like, ask them if they'll take the kids for a minute and like share what you're going through. And I was like, no, I can't do it because they're just going to like think badly of me or just think that I like can't hack it. And my husband was just like, no, Dana, if you found out that you had a friend who was struggling in silence and you could have stepped in to help relieve some of that, you would be devastated to know that they didn't ask you. And I'm like, that, yeah, that is true. And so I think we need to give people the opportunities to help. And that might mean getting vulnerable and expressing that they're like, no, I don't actually have it all together. And that's okay. And that's why I'm reaching out and for help. But I think that only when I did that strengthened my relationships with the people around me.
Yeah, I'm really passionate about creating a sense of community in your actual community. That if you live in a neighborhood, like you should be able to go next door and ask for a cup of sugar, or, you know, and your neighbor should be able to do that to you. And, you know, do you, if an emergency has happened, you should have someone to go to, and vice versa. And being that person, like, I'm really passionate about that. And that's something that my current neighborhood, it's a funny little bubble in Utah. Like, it is full of the nicest, most sweet little people. And they're just so good to jump to the aid of everybody. And I love that. And, but it's still like, okay, I will clean your whole kitchen for you, but I'm definitely not asking for help. I'll ask for a wheelbarrow, but yeah, I'm passionate about it, but yeah, letting your own walls come down when you need to be the one for help is so hard. It takes practice. So start for asking for a stick of butter or a cup of sugar. Then a ride to the airport can be down the line.
Okay, another thing that I wrote down when I was thinking about this was we should like embrace differences with curiosity and understanding instead of seeing differences as a point of disconnection, which I think in the past in my life, I have viewed friendships like that, where if we're like not exactly like cut from the same cloth and or like the same exact person, like, nope, we can't be friends, right? Like, but that's silly. Like, you want people to push you and to be different than you. And that's why I've loved the community groups in Marco Polo's, because I've been able to be exposed to so many different types of people and learn and embrace people's differences. And a lot of the times what I have seen as like might be different, I've actually ended up absorbing it myself. And like, yeah, that's been really cool.
I read a book called The Defining Decade, Making the Most of Life in Our 20s by Meg Jay. She's a therapist. And one chapter that really spoke to me is about this idea of weak ties and how, you know, so many times they say like, you are your five closest friends, you know, you're the same thing. And because that inner group may all think alike and have similar values and whatnot, they're not going to push you. They're not going to expose you to different things, where it's the weak ties that like layer beyond. Those are the individuals that are going to, you know, push you and teach you something new and encourage you to think a different way. And so I've always thought of like, who are the weak ties in my life? Who are those friends of friends, or, you know, people who are just doing a different hobby or things like that. And like, what can I learn from them and can be curious with that?
Yeah.
I love kind of outlying people that have such interesting stories. Like, those are the people I want to get to know. My husband and I have this new friend from our gym, and she is the most fascinating person. She's extremely religious and very devout, but she's covered in tattoos that most of them have like deep meaning. She's done mushrooms. She like, you know, like back, like she just has like all of these stories. She had got like a trauma, brain trauma. And you're like, what has happened? Who are you? Like, you have this variety, vast variety of experiences, and it's made you into this unique person. I have no filter. So therefore I need you to tell me everything. I need all the details about your whole life. Thank you. Like, yeah, it's just, I like the unique ones.
You're probably the unique one in a lot of your friend groups, Kara.
Yeah. Probably.
Okay. Oh. Well, one other thing that I want to talk about, which I thought was really interesting, is like, obviously that we've talked about this extensively, the antidote for loneliness is connection, right? And one thing I heard about from a TED talk was this idea of creating rituals in our lives, and how a ritual is like a repeated intentional action And some of the things that this person was talking about was the different blue zones throughout the world. Like a blue zone is a zone that has higher rates of happiness. They are living longer. And they found that connection was a big reason why these places were designated as blue zones. And she talks about how she went and traveled to some of these places. And in these places, you can see why they are blue zones. And a lot of it was because they have rituals in their lives. And some of the examples that she gave were like, she was in Italy, and there's a portion of Italy that is a blue zone, and how these people would have late dinners, and their dinners would last up to like 3 hours. And there were no phones at the dinner tables, and people were just able to have conversation and connect. But as I was thinking about that, I was obviously wanting to reflect on my own life and rituals that I have, but I was reminded of my neighbor. She just lives catty corner from me. She moved here from Serbia, and she, when they moved here, she knew very little English, and it was really difficult because they were moving to a new country. They didn't know the language, but one ritual that they had in Serbia was that everyone in the neighborhood would just come over for afternoon tea. And, you know, she just talked about how much she missed that ritual in her life. And now it's really fun. She has a daughter who lives behind her who has a little girl that's the same age as my little girl. And in our neighborhood, like, the kids are out front every day after school, and everyone's just playing in the front yards. It's like this big block party. And I was talking to her once, and I was just like, does this feel like the old Serbia of like everyone coming outside? And she's like, yeah, that's exactly what it is, of creating this ritual of everybody comes out and everyone plays together and the parents get to talk. And I was like, well, that's really neat that sometimes I don't even realize that those are rituals in my life are what are keeping me going. And so I'm curious for you guys, if you guys have pinpointed any rituals in your life that help you to forge more connection.
Gosh, I want to be invited to that afternoon tea. That sounds so wonderful.
I know.
You know, I would say that for me, like, a big ritual I have is I go for a morning walk every morning, and I know that I'm going to have a Marco Polo from my two girlfriends back on the East Coast, because when they wake up their time, they send me a Marco on the way to work, and then I have that there. And so I, you know, have the habit of like, I'm going to go for this walk. I'm going to get my, you know, tea, and I'm going to drink it on my walk, and I'm going to listen to my friends and then reply back to them. And so I find that, you know, on the weekends or days that I'm vacationing and I'm out of that habit that I'm not going for a walk, I'm like, oh, like, I miss this. Like, I need to get back to that. Like, I like the routine of like knowing when I'm going to have that connection.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so cute.
I love that.
For me, it's like changed so many different times. Like right now, my community does a dessert night to celebrate people's birthday every month. So either you go out, meet somewhere at an ice cream shop, or someone will host it. Like, I hosted it in October because it was my birthday, and I made it a witch's night, which was fun. And then like our church community does like a activity every month. And I just think like, I try to show up. Like, it's important to me. I may not always have fun. I may not always feel like I'm fitting in, but I always try to show up to these like scheduled events, even if it's for a minute. And what else would I do?
I think this podcast, there's one of the biggest reasons why Kara and I started this podcast was, one, we wanted to connect with our sisters more. And we oftentimes we'd be having conversations on the phone with our sisters. And be like, oh, this was such a great conversation. I just really think that other women could relate to this or could benefit from this. And so it was out of, one, wanting to connect with our sisters, and that this would create an opportunity for us to talk more regularly. And two, that it would allow us to connect with other people, hear differing viewpoints, and connect other women to each other. And I think that, I mean, that's a ritual that I have stuck to and I've clung to, is that this is good for me. Like, recording these episodes is good for me. It fills my soul. And hopefully it's filling another woman's soul as they're listening, and it's helping them feel like they're connected to other people who might be experiencing the same things that they are. Another ritual I feel like we have done is we've made really great friends, but we have a couple where we get together at least once a week and we do game nights. And that has been really great, where it's like, okay, we know we can count on an activity where we can connect with another couple, where we like both the husband and the wives, and we're all friends together. And that has been a ritual that has brought a lot of joy to us.
That's a hard one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when initially, Megan, when you brought up the like 200 hours, I'm like, if I were to count up the amount of hours that we have spent on our game nights, I'd be like, well, no wonder we're such good friends. It's because we have invested, you know, the time in these game nights. And I'm like, it's great. I'm gonna Marco Polo her after this and be like, we have hit the top tier level of friendship now. That's a big deal.
That's so good. You know, my partner Tyler, he has a mastermind group, he calls it, with his three friends from college, where they get on the phone like every other Monday and they set goals and they like hold each other accountable. Wow. So he's got like that habit going with those three friends. And then he has a weekly game night as well with his friends. And I feel like it's like so wonderful, because I think that female friendships that we've been talking about are one thing, but friendship with males, I think, can be so different in how like they communicate and connect. And I'm like so proud of Tyler for, you know, getting in there and like having these men that he can, you know, talk work with or personal stuff, and like have these different outlets to process as well. So I love the game night idea. I need to like add something for me now with like, how am I going to get together with my girlfriends?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's important to have that balance for where both of you are getting those outside emotional friendship needs met regularly.
Yeah, for sure. But I also think it's been really great for us too, as a couple, to do those things together, right? Like, I think we've talked a lot about personally what we need to do for ourselves, but I think it's really great when you and your partner can come together and find things that both of you enjoy, that you can get connection together and have experiences together. Which sometimes like that requires me like, you know, nudging Luke a little bit and saying like, come on, let's go to this thing. And then he gets there and he's like, oh yeah, I like didn't really want to, but I know this is like, I actually really enjoy this, you know, and I enjoy connecting with people. And he is like, when he's in a group of people, he's so good about, you know, asking people questions and being like genuinely interested in their lives, and is the one that really is the glue for most of our friend groups. So, but it is interesting to kind of compare the differences between men and women and what their like social needs are.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to do a whole nother episode on that.
You know, I only go to the gym with Trevor because it's something that we have to do together. You know, I hate those sweaty high fives every day. It's like a boot camp kind of thing. And it's just like, yeah, you go. I'm like, oh, I hate Meg. And I complain every single day. But...
oh my gosh.
But my husband loves it, so we do it together. Took me a full year to jump on the bandwagon with him.
That's a good one.
So fun, so great, so good for us.
I think ultimately this like phrase that I keep thinking about as I was preparing for this is that like connection is created by the things we choose to go back to, and not the new things that we choose to do or we buy, right? Our connection is really about like the things that ground us. And so hopefully through this conversation, people have been able to think about those things. What are the things that you keep going back to? Who are the people that you keep going back to that feel like home? And what are some things that you can do to nurture, you know, those relationships? And hopefully this has given you an idea and has given you a push to fight against maybe some of that loneliness that you're feeling. But if you are feeling that way, you are not alone. You are not the first person to feel that way. And we are always here, and you can reach out to us and vent to us, and we will be your friend. Megan, it was so awesome having you. This was such a great conversation. We, as always, a ritual that we have on the podcast is to share funny stories that came from the mouths of the babes in our life. So, Kara, do you have a story?
So we took our kids to Universal Studios in Florida this last week because we just finished all the Harry Potter books. So, and they're big enough to ride all the rides. And we did the Simpsons ride, I think, for the first time. And we don't watch the Simpsons. They like know what it is, but we don't watch it. And my daughter, who is not actually that funny usually, but like this was prime for her. Her brothers blow her out of the water with their humor. But she's like, is there another Simpson ride? That was awesome. And I was like, really? Okay, but you loved that one. And she asked, she's like, Dad, why don't you like the Simpsons? And he's like, well, it's rude, it's crass. And she goes, well, that's what makes it funny. And the swear words are just the little sprinkles on top. So yeah, that was a golden moment that like, oh, so you think swearing is funny too, eh? Like
he gets it from you.
Yes, it's probably true.
The funny thing is that like we grew up on The Simpsons and our dad always like loved coming home and watching The Simpsons.
No, he would just, if we had it on, we weren't allowed to watch it.
What?
And we would
vivid memories of watching The Simpsons at home.
Okay, maybe when we were older. Like,
no, when we were like, Arizona. When I was like in four or five.
Okay. Well, Mom would always come and turn it off. And if it was on, Dad would just stand behind us and watch with us. And
never... Classic Dad.
Yeah. He didn't know. But Mom says, turn this off. This is horrible.
Okay, so this one is kind of funny. So one of my friends, we are big Swifties, and we actually went to the Taylor Swift concert in Seattle. We did not have tickets before we went, and we went out and got tickets and like made it a whole girls' weekend, and it was awesome. So with the anticipation of the Eras Tour coming on Disney Plus, you know, we've been listening to more Taylor Swift music, and my nephew across the street has also become obsessed with Taylor Swift. And this was the day after the Super Bowl. And obviously it was a Swiftie Super Bowl. So we had like t-shirts. Like I had a Karma t-shirt with an 89 on it, or 87. I think that's Travis mm-hmm. Kelce's number. Anyways. But Sawyer had made like a, you know, those like we're number one, like fingers, and had put the number 13 on it and had like determined that this was her like Taylor Swift finger. And so her cousin, who is 5, came over and she was showing him, you know, the Taylor Swift finger. And so then they asked to listen to some Taylor Swift. And so I was cooking dinner and all of a sudden I hear this conversation going on where my nephew, her cousin, when my brother and I see Taylor Swift in her costumes, our penises go up. And Sawyer, my daughter, kind of looks at him and goes, well, this is not a penis finger. And I'm just like dying laughing because we had already heard that he was like obsessed with Taylor Swift. And so the fact that he was now talking about how, you know, Taylor Swift in her costumes, she's a cutie. And I texted my sister-in-law and we were just like dying laughing. And the fact that he's 5, like, and he already has like major girl crushes was just too much.
He's gonna be trouble.
I know. Yeah.
I love all the Taylor Swift mania as well. I've been actively following all of that.
Oh, fun.
I would say for mine. So my best friend has a daughter and she is, I think, as 2 now. And so she, you know, my girlfriend goes to Starbucks and she'll get her morning beverage or whatnot. And her daughter will be like, I think I need a special treat. And that means like the cake pop. The
cake pops.
And so like, it's so fun now because I'll get the rundown from Sheila, what's going on. She's like, and then we had to go out and get a special treat. And so like, I've adopted this now to like, I say to my partner, like, I think I need a special treat. So it's really cute little like kid language.
I love that. That just reminded me of this video, this like reel I saw where this mom and her daughter are in the drive-thru and she's ordering a coffee and the daughter's like, oh mom, can I have like a donut or something or like a cake pop? And her mom's like, oh, we have we have desserts at home. And the daughter responds and says, Mom, we have coffee at home. And so the mom is like, and can I add a cake pop to the order?
Daughter.
Yeah. Love that. Those little tricky babes, they just know how to get what they want.
Yeah. Humble us real quick.
Yeah.
Love them.
Well, thanks again, Megan, for joining us. It was a real treat. And we hope everyone has a fantastic rest of their week, that hopefully this filled your cup and helped you feel a little more connected. But as always, we would love it if you would like, review, rate, and share this with one of your friends. Maybe use it as a conversation starter with some of the women in your community and talk about how you can create rituals or stronger connection within your groups. But bye for now.